How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality. Shane Jones.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D's taking aboard a craft with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and on today's episode, we're going to be taking it to Charlotte, North Carolina to dive into some of the dark and paranormal history of it from somebody who's been trying to chronicle and collect all the information and put it together on social media so people can actually learn about the history of the city. So absolutely fascinating, a little bit of the paranormal, a little bit of the history of the city, so two of my favorite things to talk about, obviously paranormal and history. So I think you guys are definitely going to enjoy this episode. But before we get into that, of course, I got some news and some updates. First piece of update slash news is I will not actually be at Squonkapalooza 2, unfortunately, this year. Really sorry to have to tell you guys that, but I'm not going to be able to cover it financially this year. So hopefully I'll be able to come out next year. I'm still going to promote it all the same and everything. But for anybody that was planning on coming out or thinking they're going to be able to see me out there, I apologize in advance, even for being able to do the presentation. I was really looking forward to it. But again, guys, still check out Squonkapalooza 2. If you guys are in the area, definitely go and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's being thrown by Joe from Cryptoteology, which is one of the sponsors of the show, and Lisa from Cryptid Comfort, which makes all those really, really cool cryptid plushies. So if you guys are into any of that kind of stuff, you guys are into cryptid as a whole, or you're in the Pennsylvania area or close to the Pennsylvania area, make sure you guys mark it on your calendars, and you guys can still find that information for that down in the show description. And moving into front of house, if anyone is interested in reporting an encounter, you guys can report those to OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. And depending on what you want to do with it, either one, I want to put some compilation episodes together where if you guys record yourselves and email them to me, then I can put them together and kind of discuss them on episodes. Or if you guys type them out, then I can read them on some episodes. Or, you know, if you guys don't want anything put on the internet whatsoever, you just want somebody to talk to about your experiences, I'm always here for that too. Just let me know what you want to do. You guys can use that email that I mentioned, OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree and fill this submission form. And there is two submission forms on there. The one that says report an encounter is the one you'll want to use for that. Or if you guys have me on social media, you guys can always send me those stories on social media, whatever is easier for you. I just want to hear about those encounters. And if you guys enjoy this show, don't forget to go and check out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, that I do with my awesome co-host, Oren. You guys heard me talk about that forever, so I'm not going to get too in-depth with it. But of course, over there, there's a lot of deep dives covering a lot of the same topics that we talk about on this show. And you guys can also check out our Patreon / YouTube exclusive show, Bizarre Inquiries. We will be changing up the format for that, so it's going to be a little bit different on each episode, make it so it's more of a
sideshow type thing where you can do a bunch of different stuff on. But look forward to that new format change for that. And there's going to be a lot more to see as far as video goes, considering that is a video show. And if you guys want to support the show, there's three awesome ways to do so. Number one is to go and leave a review for the show on iTunes or Spotify. If you guys leave a 5-star review and you guys are nice enough to type out some type of comment about it, of course, I will read it on the show and I will give you guys a big shout out. It's been a long time since I've gotten to read one of those on the show. I definitely see the stars going up as far as Spotify goes, but we got to fill in the gap a little bit as far as the iTunes side goes and make it so that the show can continue to keep growing this year, because I want to keep growing it as much as I can to be able to get this message out to as many people as possible. And we'll have more people that'll come in, share their experiences and encounters, and maybe I'll even be able to get some bigger guests on the show, and of course keep the show rolling and getting bigger and more entertaining for you guys, because that's all I want to do here, is be able to give you guys something you guys are able to listen to while you're at work, get you through the day. And of course there's a lot of other awesome podcasts out there that I listen to, so I wanted to give my input back into the community, of course. And the second way you guys can support the show is through the OMM Patreon. Over there, you'll get this show and you'll get Bizarre Encounters. I recently updated those tiers, so now there is a $1 tier, a $3 tier, and a $5 tier. And with those, you get a little bit different benefits, of course, depending on which kind of a listener you are and what exactly you're trying to look for the show. Always taking suggestions for the Patreon, so if anybody else has any suggestions they'd like to throw, I would absolutely appreciate it. And a new feature that I added to the show, or added to the Patreon, is the $20 sponsorship tier. If you are somebody that owns a business and you want to have advertisement placed on the show, you guys can join that tier. And with that, you also get all of the tiers with all the other benefits. You'll be able to listen to the show with early access and everything. So I try to beef that up as much as I can for the sponsors. And just a heads up, of course, I am able to tell you if I'm not interested in having you sponsor on the show. And if that is the case, I will definitely refund it back. Examples of that might be things that don't fit the show, like if you're a landscaper in Texas and it doesn't really fit with the international theme, it's not going to work that great. But if you have an online store, of course, that stuff will absolutely work perfect. I just want to keep stuff relatively relevant to the show, of course. And the third way you guys can support the show is through the OMM merch store. Over there, there's a bunch of new designs over there. I cleaned up the store a lot, and you guys can still use that code Crypto10 to receive 10% off at checkout. And with all of those things, hopefully you guys don't mind supporting the show, making it so that it becomes a little bit more financially stable. I would definitely appreciate it, guys. And if you guys are interested in just donating to the show in general, I got to throw this back in here. You guys can also donate on Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App. Anything is absolutely appreciated, and it all goes back towards the show and helping it so the show can continue to grow and I can keep making it out to more events next year, because there's a lot that I'm not going to be able to make it to this year just due to financial restrictions, of course. And if you guys want to stay up to date on the show, you guys can always go and check out Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram, Facebook, Discord, YouTube, and TikTok. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Jason Tapp from Spooky CLT. How's it going today, man?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I think we talked maybe like a month or two ago about you coming on, and I did a little bit of dive in India to see the different kind of stuff you do. And for anybody that may not be familiar with what CLT means, maybe kind of give them a little bit of your background and let them know exactly what Spooky CLT is.
Yeah, so Spooky CLT does stand for Charlotte, like Charlotte, North Carolina. It's the area code, and people who live there have taken a liking to it, put it on t-shirts, hats, things like that. So I, as Spooky CLT, I have an Instagram account and website where I'm doing my best to chronicle all the spooky things about Charlotte. It's North Carolina's largest city. And yet, like, if you're talking to people about Charlotte, you have such a hard time explaining, like, what goes on over there? You know, it's not like known for anything. And myself, I'm interested in like all things spooky. So, I kind of added that passion while learning about Charlotte history, and, decided to kind of share everything I learned, whether it be ghost stories, paranormal encounters from locals, the dark history of Charlotte, cryptids in the area, true crime stories, just anything that falls underneath that spooky umbrella, different subcultures, and you know, just everything interesting about Charlotte. And I'm doing my best to share it with people as a unofficial PR agent, and as well as someone who's passionate about talking about the paranormal, because it's just like such a cool thing, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think that sums it up. I've been doing it for about 6 years now. And it's always changing my focus, like what I'm into in the moment, which is cool because I like sharing that stuff with people. So I've gone from like, you know, doing my research and looking into books and old newspapers. And right now my thing is I'm doing my best to preserve older cemeteries. In the state of North Carolina, it's no one's responsibility to do that. The state will own a few of them if they're like historic landmarks or, you know, if they're still open and managed and making money. But unless like a family or a church takes over it, like it's no one's responsibility. So all over the state and I'm sure all over the country, cemeteries are getting forgotten. And that's kind of my thing right now is learning about them and trying to take action and doing something to preserve them.
Man, I've heard a million stories lately about, you know, there's an old cemetery and like a Walmart or something will come into the area and they'll basically just pave over it and just leave it as like a parking lot, not even like remove the bodies or anything like that. So it's good that at least somebody's out here trying to preserve the cemeteries themselves, because I've had a few people come on the show that do a lot of paranormal research and everything. Mm-hmm. And they usually try to save the historic buildings themselves. But you're actually the first person I've had come on and talk about actually trying to save the cemetery. So props to you, man, because again, I haven't heard anybody else trying to do that.
Yeah, I mean, now that I'm in the game, I am seeing people do it, which is really comforting. You know, like you said, it's not that popular, but there are people that are putting in the effort, which is cool. And I'm new to it, and there's been people in the game for, you know, decades. So it's so interesting, the connection between people who love talking about the paranormal and like, and the history buffs. You know, there's such like a clash, or not clash, but like a Venn diagram with a very big section in the middle. So I'm learning I'm getting to know all of these people who are into the history stuff, but they're so invaluable when it comes to, you know, tying it into something spooky, you know, on my end. So it's cool. It's if you're into the paranormal, just start getting to know those historic people in your area.
I mean, honestly, when it comes to a lot of the paranormal research, I figure that the best way to do it is to actually know the history of the building itself. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people like to go in blind and just kind of investigate for themselves when they try to make contact and everything, but at least coming from me, who's always been into history to begin with, it's like I'd rather kind of know a bit of the background and everything. And actually, since you're kind of talking about both, I'd like to dive into some of your own experiences, which is why I kind of assume that you kind of got inspired to dive into the paranormal to begin with. But after that, I'd love to get into some of the paranormal history and some of the dark history and just history all around as far as Charlottesville goes, because I feel like it'd be kind of cool to be able to touch ends on a little bit of both and give people a full view and background of the city itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll go right into something that I was really heavily involved with last year. So in my like professional life, I work in property management. So I'll work for companies that like, you know, pay the bills. Like, are they organized to make sure that the bills get paid, lights stay on, you know, the building staying clean. And last year I was involved with a team that was taking care of this historic property called the Latta Arcade. I don't know if you came across that on my Instagram, but it's this building built in 1914, two stories, like a kind of like a food mall, but it's smack dab in the center of uptown, like the city of Charlotte. This whole old historic thing has been running all this time. And my job was to make sure that the tenants were paying, that, you know, all these upgrades that we were doing were happening, things like that. But I was also learning the history, and I was learning about why it was called Latta Arcade. It was Edward Dilworth Latta, who is this rich guy in the area, had a very rich family. Actually, his family owns a plantation outside of town, which is another haunted location. But he was like this, you know, captain of industry of Charlotte, made electric rails all the way through, just a real popular guy. Because Charlotte, North Carolina, it used to have this beautiful like electric rail system. It is no longer there. It is replaced by just car infrastructure. But the Latta Arcade, I couldn't help myself when I was going to talk to tenants about work orders they had and stuff. I started asking, is it haunted? Like, have you experienced anything? And just talking, getting collective experiences. And I got a lot of yeses. So I started talking to more people, kind of getting stories, looking into the biggest asset I use is the historic newspapers for the Charlotte Observer, all uploaded on the library. So all I have to do is search keywords. Lada Arcade has over like 300,000 just because of how many people had ads in the newspaper using it as an address. But I was able to find like all of these things that had happened. And what I had realized is there was not a lot of deaths in Lada, which would cause it to be haunted, but there was a lot of people that worked there like their entire lives. Like we have a shoeshine guy there currently, and his mom used to bring him to the arcade to pay her rent bills. And he used to run around in circles on the top floor. And now here it is 70 years later, and he's like the shoeshine guy.
Assumably, there's a lot of residual hauntings there, just because of the same people being there time and time again, doing the same things every day.
That is absolutely, like, residual is the word I would absolutely use. The current porter, so the guy who's there from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. sweeping, making sure doors are locked, all that good stuff. He is named that entity Frank because he's there after hours, he can hear someone like walking around upstairs. And the people who work in like the architecture firm upstairs, they have confirmed they hear someone walking behind there if they stay a little bit later, you know, typically when it's dark. So learning about this old historic building, Lada Arcade, in the center of Charlotte, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to make an event around it. So last October the 13th, October Friday the 13th, I hosted a historic tour and ghost hunt of the Lada Arcade.
Well, not a perfect day to do it. October and Friday the 13th. You couldn't have asked for a better double up.
Yes. I mean, the stars aligned for it. And I used it as a fundraiser for another project that I was working on, which was fixing a headstone of a guy. And I'll definitely bring that up later. But we had our event, and the story that, you know, so like I told him the history of the building, had like a 30-minute spiel. We had the CAPS group, which is the Charlotte Area Paranormal Society, because Charlotte does in fact have a area paranormal society, and they have been around for decades. They do excellent work. And they had a few people come to the event, tell people about ghost hunting, the equipment that they use, you know, their process for it. And then we split up into different groups and spread people out. So they were spread out, and one group was in this barbershop called the Arcade Men's Room. Barbershop was actually open for 108 years. It opened up in 1914, and they just moved shop at the beginning of this year. So like all of this time, and they finally left.
That's crazy to think, but over 100 years at the same location.
So they were there the entire time, and we use their, you know, we ghost hunt in their place after hours. And the story was that they had this barbershop sign that was there the entire time, and it used to be used for to signal like the bankers and the politicians and the lawyers who are working in uptown. They would put it outside to signal that they were selling bootleg liquor. And then they would put it out there. These guys would know to come in.
Was it like down when the sign was spinning or something? I'm assuming it's one of the old barbershop signs that spin.
It wasn't. It was just a metal one, because they needed to be able to put it in and out and like take it out and, you know.
Oh, gotcha. I thought it was one of the like ones attached to the building itself, and they'd like flick it on when they were ready to sell or something.
They have that, but like they needed something additional to just letting people know that they were there. But now like it's still in the shop hanging on the wall, but it will fall off the wall unprompted. And it's even on multiple occasions over the years, it has gone missing for like days at a time. And then it'll just appear on the floor one morning. Crazy. So we were like, that's one location. Another location was like this vacant spot that is now a pizza restaurant, because I got them in there before like the construction started. They were in between tenants. And that spot, like three people, like the EV readers or whatever they take, the electric magnetic, that one,
EVPs.
EVPs, all of the equipment, batteries drained, which people do say is one of those signs of like, you know, taking that energy. as like a way to either show a presence or to just take the energy for themselves.
Or they're like, no, you're not recording me. You're not going to find me, because they'll do it to like cameras, you know, and stuff whatever, too. Whatever. So,
but like, the fact that it happened on the one night we're ghost hunting, just saying. But, and then on the second floor, there's a flower shop. And what's crazy about this one is, the flower shop owner moved in beginning of last year, 2023. And she like set up her shop, and you know, one day I went up there to ask her how everything was coming along, and I just felt like she had mentioned something very spiritual. So I was like, well, like, do you believe in ghosts? Like, have you experienced anything here? And she was like, I have to tell you. So when she first moved in, she just felt like this, you know, overbearing spirit there, like that she felt very unwelcome. She felt like someone was there kind of looking over her shoulder always. She put crystals in the corners. She saged the place. Nothing was really working. And then one night when she was feeling it, she just like outright out loud said, like, I work here now. This is my space now. I promise I'll take care of it. And she like, she felt the thing come off her shoulder, but a glass on her desk cracked straight down the center. And when she picked it up, there was a smiley face of like the saturation of the water glass.
That's so weird. And,
like, I know. So, yeah, it's so we set that up as one of the spots for our event, and they used the spirit box, and when the spirit box was going off, one of the things it said was, "She won't listen to me." Like, in quotations, "She won't listen to me," which that to me rings something intelligent. I mean, a lot of people don't like the spirit boxes, and I can absolutely get that. But sometimes the coincidence is just like too good, and that was one of those moments.
Or when it says somebody's like exact name too, like, I don't know. People don't want to believe in them, but I definitely think that there's a lot to them, because I've heard of way too many weird things happening with those.
I mean, like, when it's the paranormal, so nothing is 100%, you know? So even if something is 7%, it still happens, so.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Yeah, so that was a lot of arcade. That was kind of an example of me experiencing some paranormal while learning the history and doing my part of sharing Charlotte history a bit. Because the shop's just been around for so long. People, it needs to be a bigger thing, like a tourist attraction almost.
I say, if somebody ends up buying up the building too, I assume somebody owns the building itself. I mean, they could always do the thing where they, you know, basically people will pay to be able to stay overnight and do like a paranormal investigation or something. And then with that money, you can use that to start trying to touch up parts of the building that need to get fixed up too, because that's usually the process that it seems like a lot of people do.
Yeah, well, I mean, the inside scoop is, like I said, I worked for the property management team. I changed jobs at the beginning of this year to, you know, whatever. But so I was in there. I came with like the new landlord pretty much for the building. They had just bought the place, and they do have all these design plans to fix it up. And like, typically a lot of people push back with that stuff because they're like, you're losing the history. But number one, it's the same bones, it's the same stone specifically in this case. So it's keeping the bones. And then number two, like in my research, I found that this happens like every 30 years where they'll be really good for 20 years, then they'll be on the decline, and then someone comes in and then does a renovation, and now it's really good for the next 20 years. And we're just in that phase. I'm happy to be able to be a part of it. And I will also say that even though I left that job, their marketing team reached out to me as not as Jason Tapp, but as Spooky CLT, asking for help sharing the history. And the plan right now is to make like a little history exhibit on the second floor. So like we really like I am getting to be a part of like the revitalization of this 100-plus-year-old property, which is really cool.
Dude, that is really cool. Honestly, that area that they're trying to do is the museum. You know, the rest of the building, if you got updated, update it. But if you have like pictures of what the building like originally looked like when it was first built, at least do that museum area like that style so it looks like the original building itself. Because that's usually the argument I say for anybody that think that you're kind of losing the history. You can update it and you can still make it look like the original building or try to get as close as you can to it. That's what they do with a lot of these historical buildings. And I know that like some people kind of believe that the paranormal itself is within the building itself, that it's within the pieces of the building, so to speak. So if you start taking off the pieces, you're starting to like lose some of like the entities that could possibly be there. But I don't know if it's necessarily that or just the space itself. And I've always kind of geared it towards the space itself. So update it, but you know, make it look like it did originally and kind of keep the historic feel to it at least. Especially if you have a building that's that old and has that much of a history, it's like people want to come in there and experience the old historic look of it rather than like the fully renovated, updated side of it. Cause then it kind of loses that historical touch to it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, 100% get it. And the funny thing is like this has already happened. A lot of the places that we consider these historic landmarks have already done that like two or three times. It's just that you get past a certain point and then
people forget.
Yeah. So, but like, I agree with you. I think something like if something's sticking around in the afterlife, I think that if it's location based, that you're going to stick there as long as the structure is kind of the same. And then people consider that for like those residual hauntings where a lot like the Lady in White's stories and, you know, the friendly janitor or whatever, where they're walking in circles, but like new walls are there and that's why they're walking through those walls.
That's what I was going to mention too, where they'll go through like where there used to be a door or something like that. And they'll just keep walking through. So yeah, again, I think it's the location itself, especially with the residual stuff. Maybe it's different with the intelligent hauntings, but the residual stuff, it's just the land. Like I've always kind of imagined it as something's been there so many times doing the same thing that it almost like creates like a rift or like a rut in that specific area. And that's why it still continues on the same path.
Like a worn-in walkway.
Almost. Exactly.
Like if you walk on a path of grass too many times, you make the imprint. And I think it's kind of like that. And in my experience too, I'm finding a lot more stories and it could just be me subconsciously just looking for them more. But a lot more stories of people who have like special connections or worked at a place or have just been in a location for long enough and not necessarily dying there. It's just like the imprint is them existing there as opposed to them being like horrifically murdered there. I'm finding a lot more of those stories, which is good because it's a lot easier to tell those to like the masses, I guess.
Then there's still somewhat of a science base in it too, because you can get into the whole idea about how like a VHS tape works and that it's basically uses the magnetic fields and the Earth has stone magnetic fields. Theory. So yeah, you can kind of create a scientific backing for it. So for people that don't believe in the paranormal as we kind of think of it.
Well, so I'll even throw you a curveball here. And right before the podcast, you mentioned you have a toddler. I also have a toddler. I've been doing this spooky CLT for years now, and I've always been interested in horror movies and the paranormal, just spooky stuff. Now having a kid, my view on death has changed. And I'm having a harder time stomaching some of those more horrific stuff, which is like a conflict of interest because I'm the spooky guy. But I'm finding kind of comfort in those stories that aren't so grisly because I'm having a hard time like viewing them. Like we're making entertainment for the most part. Like the historic work is important for me, but like for the most part, I'm posting stuff on Instagram to get people interested in Charlotte. But you know, so like summing up someone's grisly murder on an Instagram post, the ethics of it have kind of changed for me, I guess, with the toddler. Do you feel the same is what I'm getting at?
I mean, for the most part, but my main thing kind of goes to when I hear about like murders of like children and stuff themselves, like the adult stuff doesn't really, I mean, of course, I've heard so much of it that it almost gets to a point where it like doesn't phase you to think about it. But yeah. Like the kid stuff, just because I have a kid, it's like I get this like angry thought in the back of my head about it, even though it happened like 200 years ago and like nobody's around anymore that was involved in it. But it's like just being the parent figure, you want to be protective of the kids. So it's like I have a harder time stomaching the kids ones, but the adult ones don't really phase me like that.
Well, and then it's already happened to me where even if it's, well, here's an example. So like as Spooky CLT, one of the things that I've done in the past is like live events where conversations like this with people with podcasts we would do at a brewery, like in front of a crowd or whatever. And one of the first ones we did was once again on Friday the 13th. My name is Jason. I have a very special connection to that date, as you can imagine. It was on Friday the 13th. We were doing this. It was one of the first times. It may have been like the first time, at least with a big crowd. And I was talking about Henry Louis Wallace, who was the Taco Bell Strangler.
Interesting also name. Known as
also known as the Charlotte Strangler. And he murdered just over 13 women in Charlotte. He worked at fast food restaurants, and then he would like murder his coworkers and then go to another place. That's why it was Taco Bell.
Did he specifically just work at Taco Bell's, or was it like fast food places as a whole? It's just they picked Taco Bell.
Yeah. It was actually more Bojangles, which is like a very North Carolina thing. Have you ever heard of Bojangles?
Actually, we just got one in Michigan, but I haven't been able to actually go to it yet. It's the one that has the B, right? And they do like the spaghetti and stuff.
No, it's biscuits.
Oh,
biscuits,
okay. So totally different thing than what I'm thinking. I think
biscuits and chicken,
like Jubilee or something like that. Like J-U-B-I-L-E or something. I don't know.
No, it's Southern fast food.
I think my co-host has told me about that before, though, still, because he tells me about stuff from North Carolina because he's from Raleigh. So I'm sure that he's mentioned it at some point in some conversation.
Ask him about it. But the first one was in Charlotte. But anyway, so yeah, Henry Louis Wallace, the Charlotte serial killer. And I was telling, you know, presenting the story of it in a crowd because we were talking about Friday the 13th, and that was going to be my one. It was a slasher. And then he was arrested on the 13th day of March. But
was it a Friday by chance? Just to continue the jokes,
or else I would have milked that. It was not a Friday. But anyways, that was the thing that I was talking about. And afterwards, I was like, I never want to do that again, because I looked into the crowd and I was like, this happens in Charlotte. What if someone knew one of the victims? It was only 30 years ago. What if, you know? And then I realized, like, I'm talking about specifically Charlotte, North Carolina things. So a lot of it hits home to people. So I never talk about modern deaths. If someone's missing, I will post like the missing person, just hoping maybe someone will catch it. But like, I don't try to make like a big, skeptical of the current true crime stuff that's happening in Charlotte. Is the point that I'm getting at.
See, it's like a double-sided thing, because one, I mean, you can kind of view it as disrespectful to the family if the family doesn't want to kind of rehash old scars. But on the other side of it, though, being aware of things like that happening in the city also kind of helps people to just be aware of their surroundings as a whole. So it's kind of doing two things at once, so to speak. And I mean, when a lot of, I feel like girls at least listen to true crime, what I've heard for a lot of girls is that they imagine themselves in that position. So usually the girls are the main true crime listeners a lot of the time. And if anything, I feel like it's more preventative for them, because when they hear how people got away or like what the next move was, it just makes them aware of things. So, you know, yes, it may be doing something bad for the family, but on the other side, at least it's making people aware of one, the history, and two, of just being aware of their surroundings as a whole.
That's true. And sometimes I will acknowledge that it exists, but just not try to use the details as entertainment and hopefully inspire people to kind of look into it themselves from like actual journalists, you know, like actually get the facts elsewhere. And I'll just present that the thing is going on.
I mean, you could always use victim one, victim two, kind of do it that way too. And that could always be a way that you can present it as a whole, but not have to worry about disrespecting any of the families. You could just say, this is a more local case. I'm going to leave the victim's names out. I'll just call them numbered victims or something like that. And then you can kind of go into detail, but it's not, at least I don't feel that as that's disrespectful to the family. It's just, again, making people aware of the history.
And I will say that like Right. So we had a podcast. My wife and I, we had the Old North State podcast where we talked about North Carolina in general, not just Charlotte. And we were doing history and ghost stories and true crime. So yeah, we were telling the stories and we were doing it as respectfully as possible. Stopped the podcast once Kiddo came along because we were just like,
podcasts are a lot of work, man.
It's a lot of work. Power to you.
Especially having two projects going, because I'm sure your project is probably just as much work as a podcast, but then taking on two full-time jobs on top of your normal job, it's like having three full-time jobs, man.
Yeah, so no more podcast, but we got 77 episodes in. So if you're into like North Carolina history and stuff, we've covered a lot of just random topics from, you know, Civil War battles to the clown epidemic of 2016 to
say the clown epidemic.
Yeah, we had a whole big clown issue in 2016.
Oh, you're talking about when the clowns were all coming out in your Halloween and stuff, and it was like the people messing with people. Because we had something going in Michigan where people were doing it too, and it got to the point where the local police basically said, if anybody is out wearing clown costume or clown mask, then you will be arrested and brought home and questioned.
Yeah, we had that big time when the clowns started holding machetes and stuff. so it got weird quick. But yeah, just random North Carolina topics.
I totally forgot about that, man. I'm glad you brought that up because I found that really interesting when it was happening.
Yeah. What a weird thing to live through. It almost feels like more normal than what we're going through currently.
Right? We thought that was crazy, and then look what ended up coming right after that. So
we didn't know how good we had it with our killer clowns.
Let's go back to the clowns, man.
Okay, so to tell you about more spooky CLT things that I'm currently working on, I've actually successfully funded a headstone restoration in Elmwood Cemetery, which is right outside of Uptown Charlotte. It's the largest by acre cemetery, and it's still active. But there's a headstone of this guy named Charlie Hawk, and he was killed by a lion. And that's what it says, Charlie Hawk killed by a lion. He was a circus trainer in 1918 who came into Charlotte, and he was feeding a lion. And the lion just mangled his arm good. So he died of shock on the surgery table. And I just found it was such a fascinating headstone. And
pretty to the point. I like it.
Yeah, Charlie Hawk killed by a lion. It literally says that on the headstone. I couldn't get over it.
So is there a little picture of a lion on the bottom of it or anything? That would have been really funny.
No. But when I found it, it was upright and, you know, this beautiful marble headstone. And then I checked on it a year later or so, and it's cracked into a bunch of pieces. So I reached out to the cemetery. Took a while, but we learned that it was going to take about $3,500 to fix it. So I started fundraising and, you know, I went on the news and talked to newspapers and hosted events. The Lado Arcade event was like my biggest fundraiser for it. It pretty much did most of the work. But I have officially submitted all the money, and we're talking with the vendor, and we hope to have it fixed by this upcoming October. And I can show it off, because in Elmwood Cemetery, there's an event that goes on called Voices from the Past. And typically it's in like the spring, and they'll do historic figures who are buried in the cemetery. Actors will portray them, and people will walk around talking to them, and they get to tell the story.
That sounds super cool. That sounds like something like you'd see in like a movie or something, you know? We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
I lost you.
I was about to say, I didn't know if it was me or you. I was going to check my internet.
I don't know. I have all the bars, but who knows?
So the last thing we were talking about was that the thing where you walk through the cemetery and stuff. Yep. And I said it sounded like something cool, like something from a movie.
Yeah. So we do it. And the last 2 years, I have been Charlie Hawk killed by a lion. And I've been out there, you know, asking for cash, which was part of the fundraising. And I would tell people, I would show them the broken headstone, and on top there's this beautiful garland draped over it. And I'll be like, and I told him, this is a symbol of victory over death, which is ironic because he died, but I had learned from reading old newspapers about him. He was 65 years old, and he had been a lion trainer for decades. So
at least he died doing what he loves, I guess, as messed up as that sounds. Yeah,
he didn't have a family outside the circus. That's why they buried him in Elmwood. They had no home to bring him to. And then there's these flower medallions on it, which are a symbol of immortality. Also ironic because he's dead, but my whole point of trying to raise the money to fix this headstone was to keep his story up and going. Because who knows what would happen if, you know, we lost Charlie Hawk killed by a lion. We wouldn't talk about it anymore.
Dude, you got to make like a molding or something like that of the headstone itself and sell it locally or something like that. Because it almost sounds like one of those ones you'd find at like a Halloween store, but it'd be really cool to sell as like a historical Halloween decoration or something like that. If you're able to make some kind of molding or something of it, and people could just put it up around town. It's one of those, if you know, you know, kind of things.
That's funny. So like this October, we're actually doing like a spooky version of Voices from the Past with the more macabre stories. Because, you know, typically we talk about like the historic figures, but now we're going to be talking about like the weird shit that's happened. Like the ghost stories from in town. There was a woman who visited Elmwood Cemetery because she was visiting her mom, but then she was murdered inside the cemetery and then buried next to her. So crazy stories of crazy things that have happened in Charlotte. We're doing that this October. That would be so funny to sell like maybe like mini versions of it. That's another fundraiser for the next one.
You just got to make it heavy enough on the bottom. People who can even use them as like desk ornaments or something like that, or like paperweights. That'd be kind of cool too.
Right. Yeah. But so that's something spooky that it's coming up in October.
You just got to find something you can 3D print. And they could probably do it pretty easy too.
That's true. That's true. I've had 3D printed, like custom Ouija, planchettes made before, which was, a cool thing. I had a shop for a very, very short amount of time. I found that I did not like doing that as much as learning it.
Little spooky shop selling like paranormal stuff and everything. And
just like branded stuff for spooky CLT and Charlotte in general. But yeah, the history side and the storytelling is more my niche than the small shop owner.
Yeah, I can imagine, because again, that's like another full-time job on top of the other stuff you're doing again anyways.
It's tough, man. Props to the people who are doing it and making it work, you know?
I mean, that's the only way to figure out how to do it is if you make it your full-time job where you're getting paid to do all that stuff, and then you're able to do like a podcast and this and that and that, because you can just drop the day job and just be done with it.
Right. So I want to info dump on you a little bit about Charlotte, if that's okay, because that's my whole shtick, you know.
That I was going to ask, actually, because I wanted to hear about some of the dark history, because you mentioned the barbershop. So I assume that, you know, you guys had the whole background of like speakeasies and bootlegging and everything. So those stories are always fascinating. And you also mentioned the Civil War, and those stories are fascinating. So, yeah, I was already kind of hoping you'd go in that direction.
I'm gonna run through it because I'm starting at the beginning. So this area was known, it was the Catawba tribe's land. The Catawba River pretty much would have gone straight through this Mecklenburg County, but we dammed it up back in the 60s to make all these different lakes provide energy and power and stuff like that. But the Catawba tribes were in this Mecklenburg County, what I know is Mecklenburg County area. So all over town, there are native burial mounds that were pretty much destroyed to make what are now our suburbs.
When you say burial mounds, are these, just out of curiosity, some of the ones that people found giant skeletons in, if you're looking into like the old newspaper articles?
I'm familiar. And honestly, I think if it were, we wouldn't know about it.
That is true.
It's a secret. Because I'm with you on that. But long before our suburbs came, we also had just colonies of the English. Charlotte is named after Queen Charlotte, who was the wife of the king during the Revolutionary War. So we named our little city area, which was at the pretty much right where two trading paths cross, the Great Wagon Road, which people talk about a lot from like Pennsylvania down to Georgia and Florida in that area. And then also like the one going from east to west, North Carolina into the frontier. So trading path, expanded into our Charlotte town. We named it after her, changed the city name to Charlotte when we incorporated. And that's why we are also Mecklenburg County, because it was Charlotte, Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg Strites. If you watch Bridgerton, like my wife does, and now I do, she is a main character of that show. They represent her as a black woman, and that is because it was like a thing about her that she had Portuguese in her blood, and a lot of critics said that she had like African features because of that, which had then kind of snowballed into everyone being like, she was the first black queen. It is debatable for history. But that's where the name Charlotte comes from. Then around the Civil War era and before then, we actually were the first gold rush in America. Before people started going out west, they found gold in our area first. And there's over 70 abandoned gold mines in particular in Mecklenburg County. You can look, see a map, and it's just riddled with them. A lot of them are within Uptown, which is like our downtown area. When they were building Panther Stadium, they found one, a mine that was abandoned right in the city center. This is also connected to why Charlotte, North Carolina now currently is a banking city. Like, that is our main thing. It's Wells Fargo, Bank of America. Everyone in Uptown is working pretty much connected to a bank in one way or the other. And then that connects to Deep South prohibition and bootlegging, where the mines were sometimes used to store bootleg liquor for operations that were once again at the corner of this trade routes. You know, that's just like it was in the indigenous times. There's these trade routes, and then once again they're used for moonshining hundreds of years later, which is wild. And then you take the next jump from bootlegging and having speakeasies, as you mentioned. But then the people who were running this bootleg shine were souping up their cars, and that started NASCAR.
Yep.
and now Charlotte has the NASCAR Hall of Fame because it was a big deal for us. Our bootleg and rebellious nature carried over to NASCAR.
I just want to throw it in here, too, for anybody that may wonder why that happened. It's because the bootleggers would end up racing each other, and that ended up becoming NASCAR. So if anybody didn't connect the dots there, it's because the bootleggers are racing each other.
Yep, but they were souping up their cars to outrace the cops. I even found a story in Charlotte where the cops were able to find a bootleg operation because so many people were driving to it that the locals were requesting that it get paved so they would have like a smoother route to their shiner. And the city was like, why are they going this way? They went out there and they find a moonshine operation. I skipped an entire chapter from the Revolutionary War because I got hung up on Bridgerton, but Charlotte, North Carolina, we also are, one of our claims to fame is that we wrote the first Declaration of Independence. It was called the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence. It happens on May 20th, 1775. It's on our state map, and a group of well-off guys in Charlotte declared themselves free of the king, and they wrote this Mecklenburg Declaration. Then they wrote it again with these resolves, and they sent it off to Philadelphia. And I read a book this year that John Adams accused Thomas Jefferson of cheating off of it when he was creating his Declaration of Independence.
I swear I vaguely heard that somewhere, but I didn't know what the backing of it was.
Well, I think you followed me in May. Before May 20th, I go all out talking about it, trying to make sure everyone knows it. And I do it by memes, too. I have like a whole campaign trying to make the Mech Deck a household name. So Charlotte just a super interesting place. After bootlegging and stuff, we had a lot of those mega churches with connections to Charlotte, which are cult-like. And then after that, the city was struggling for a bit, just like your friend who lives in Raleigh. I'm sure you can tell you the 90s, not a good time for Raleigh. And it's just like Charlotte, but now we're keep moving forward. But a reputation we have is a lot of people are new to Charlotte. Like, it's transplants straight from college, getting their first banking job, and then they move to Chicago or a bigger city. So with that, a lot of like the local influencers are like, oh, Charlotte has no history or culture. I knew that was not the case because here I am getting all excited about telling you this stuff, just breezing over it. And so now I'm doing my best to get people talking about it again. Yeah, because Charlotte's a cool place.
Say, is there any more particular history that you want to get into? Because I definitely found your research into the arcade fascinating. So if you have any other buildings that you've dived into, I'd love to hear about some of the history of them.
Yeah, so the place I make sure that everybody talks about is the Dunhill Hotel. It is our local haunted hotel. And what's crazy about it is, well, you know, I'll get there. So Dunhill Hotel, bones of the building were built in the 1920s, right around the time of the Great Depression. And it was the tallest public building. So unfortunately, it got a reputation of bankers spending the night in the hotel after losing their entire livelihoods, going to the 10th floor and jumping off. And this reputation of the suicides just followed it throughout the years, and it changed names from the Mayfair Manor to the JW Motor Inn, a few other things. And then it was abandoned for about 10 years in the 80s before it became the Dunhill Hotel and multi-million dollar renovations, and it's now this beautiful boutique hotel in town. But when they were doing the renovations in the 80s, they actually found an intact skeleton at the bottom of the elevator shaft. Had no idea who it was. The narrative behind it was that it was like a homeless person. And then during just one of those rough decades for Charlotte, they found shelter in the abandoned hotel, and who knows what led to them most likely falling to their death. The mystery, no one has any idea.
If it was a homeless person, it could have been somebody just sleeping in there and they had a heart attack or something too. Or it could have been something way older too, because I mean, I don't know if it had clothes or anything on it where you can kind of date it, or if it was just a skeleton itself. But if it was a skeleton itself, it could have been one of the businessmen from back in the day too.
It could have. But I'll tell you, so these days, the current staff, they do experience paranormal activity. One of the things that they have, entities that they've named, and it's typically like poltergeist activity, lights flicking on and off, things getting tossed off desks, just like a presence that someone's around. They've named it Dusty, the Dunhill Ghost, and they say it's like mischievous. But they have also experienced other entities like the classic woman in white, which was just a dark haired woman wearing white who would walk towards people and then disappear. Like a cackling laughter can be heard. Room 906 is like the most haunted, and there's a story of people who have experienced going into the bathroom and seeing in the window behind them bodies falling past it, truly believing that they've seen someone drop off the top of the building, but then when they talk to the desk about it, nothing ever happens. Shadow figures, all this spooky stuff has just been going on for the past, you know, three decades. Even if you were to go and get a drink at their bar, which is typically how I learned this stuff, they'll tell you like their own experiences. They're really open about it. Now, the wild thing is that I've been telling this story since I've learned about it. And two summers ago, there was a reporter that I had previously talked to had forwarded me an email that they got from CMPD, so our local police department, and they were just the reporter was on some type of list when they're learning statements or whatever, but one of the things was the police department was telling people how they had partnered with a new database of DNA, and they were revisiting old cold cases, and they looked up the bones from the Dunhill Hotel, and they matched it with the family from Mooresville, which is right next to Charlotte. And they were able to identify that the bones belonged to this guy named Odom. And he, in fact, was a World War II vet, and he fell on hard times and was homeless living in the city in like the 70s and 80s. And here we are. We know now who the skeleton at the bottom of the elevator shaft was, and we did not 2 years ago. It's crazy that these stories like are still developing. And people are interested in it because of the ghost stories that come along with it.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. Hey guys, I know nobody really wants to listen to ad breaks on podcasts, so instead of actually listening to those, why don't you go and check out some of the sponsors and affiliate links for the show instead? Number one, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs, or you guys can check out Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites, or you guys can check out Snarly Yao for a fantastic natural line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and body wash, all with an enticing woodsy aroma of smoky cedar with a hint of mint. And he also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are in that area, make sure you guys go and check it out and see what kind of events he's putting on, because he definitely brings in an awesome group of people. And you guys can go and check out Big Ape Threads for all of their Bigfoot and cryptid related designs. And going into the affiliate links, you guys can always go and check out the newest sponsor to the show, Organite, specializing in scale model pyramid replicas, EMF protection devices, and much more. And if you guys find any pieces that you guys want to scoop for yourself, you guys can use code OMM for 10% off at checkout. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, you guys can go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. And if you guys have any technical questions about it, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions for it. And if you use the affiliate link, you guys will receive 10% off at checkout. And just a heads up, the company is based in the UK, so when you check it out on the website, it will be in pounds. But when you guys use PayPal, it will convert over, so don't think that you guys can't scoop one just because you don't live in the UK. And don't forget to check out the affiliate link for Sticker Mule to receive a $10 credit towards your first purchase. Over there, you can get a bunch of stickers printed, t-shirts, posters, all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are another podcast and you guys are looking for good quality stuff in order to print your logos on, Sticker Mule is definitely the place for you. And more information on all of those, of course, is available down in the show description. Let's quickly run through some commercials and get back into the show. And we are back, so let's hop right in. Dude, I always like the fact, too, that when you actually have a story that you actually end up finding the complete ending to, because otherwise it would have been one of those things that people would have kind of created ghost stories for years and years, and then it would have completely swayed away from the truth. So it's a good thing that they're actually able to figure it out before the bones just kind of got lost through history. Otherwise, it would have just been one of those things that turned into another fishtail, you know?
Well, and like, that's exactly what happened. Like, I've been on... There's ghost tours in Uptown Charlotte year round, and I've been on them, and they will make up stories for who they believe the guy is, and now we're setting the story straight, which is just cool, because like you read these books of these old ghost stories, and for one of them to like you said, kind of case closed, we figured it out, is wild to see happen in real time.
Do they have any of those rooms in that place that's like specifically haunted that like people ask for, or some hotels they'll just like not let people stay in that room? Like, is there a specific one?
906. 906 is that room I mentioned before with, you know, if you look out the window. So my wife and I, we actually stayed there right after our wedding. We did a little staycation to celebrate.
Haunted honeymoon.
Haunted honeymoon. Yeah. It was just part of it. But we requested specifically 906. But the funny thing is that we got too drunk. We did not do any ghost hunting because we literally got blackout drunk celebrating our new marriage.
You would have got stuck in a 1408 type situation, so maybe it was a good thing.
Yeah. But like, so yeah, if anything spooky happened that night, it went right over us because we were toasted.
There was a ghost at the end of the bed just going, boo, boo. All right, fine, I give up. So as far as, I guess, more haunted places in the area.
So if you're going to haunted locations, first off, I would say go on the ghost tour because it's a walking tour of Uptown Charlotte. They'll point out to you the haunted pubs, the haunted restaurants. They'll do their job well, and by the end of it, you'll know exactly where you want to spend the rest of the night. I would say that those places are like Ladder Arcade, which we talked about a bunch earlier, the Dunhill Hotel. Go to their bar, spend some money there. There's a haunted Irish pub called Reroz. It's pretty much nearly right across the street from the Dunhill. And what's crazy about there is, like, Uptown Charlotte used to have a lot of textile mills. Like, that was part of our industry, which made us into a city besides banking. So a lot of like the restaurants in Uptown are based in those old mills, and Reraw's in particular, when they were building it in this shell of a, like their side of the shell of this mill, they imported all of this wood from a boarding school in Ireland because they were this Irish bar, and they made the bar with this old Irish wood. And once they started opening up shop, they had this little schoolgirl running around that no one knew what was going on with this. And she would write the alphabet on the brick of the mill, and they would, you know, erase it. And then she'd come back and write it again. No one knows where she got this chalk from. And eventually she wrote it on the second level where like you can't just walk out to. It's like this ledge. And then top right corner, that's where she wrote it, and they kept it there, and she's been happy with it being there. But so you can go inside this restaurant and see the alphabet in this like untouchable space, which is just crazy.
That is super cool. I haven't heard a story like that before, actually.
Yeah, and so, and I've recently talked to the bartenders, and they said like the big thing that's going on right now is like people are afraid to close shop upstairs by themselves,
of course,
because they're seeing people, and like full-blown glasses are getting like tossed off the bar and shattering. And at one point they're blaming it, like saying if you touch this particular book on this shelf, a glass will break upstairs. Happens every time. I asked them, I was like, can I touch it? And they were like, are you going to clean up the glass when it breaks? And I said touche, like I'm not going to do that. I was there on my lunch break. So Reraw's haunted pub is, yeah, another good one. I have the website Spooky CLT. I have made like cool lists for local newspapers, so I have all those links on there. So pretty much all of my interviews and like my public research is on my website, spookyclt.com.
Perfect. So I guess before we start completely wrapping up too, I always like to ask, do you have any future projects that you have on the horizon that you're looking into, or new possible places you can kind of give people a sneak peek on, you know, something might be able to follow up on soon?
Well, so I'll tell you, I'm taking this as an opportunity to tell you a story that kind of just happened. And I'm still wrapping my mind around it because it's just wacky. But are you on Instagram right now by any chance? Like, are you able to look at it? Cause I want to just show you something that's like important for the story.
Yeah, I can be. And if you want also, in the cover art for this episode, I'll include whatever the picture is somewhat in the cover art too, so that everybody can get a visual on what you're about to talk about too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if it's that relative, but I will send it to you to get there. But long story short is, every now and then I will get a DM from someone on Instagram saying like, you know, check this thing out, like I've learned about. And there was this guy, his Instagram name is Rice Wing, and he's just this wacky guy. And we have a lot of interactions, but he found the cemetery near where he lived, and he told me about it and said, you should check this out. Like it needs help. And for whatever reason, typically, you know, I'm a busy guy, so like I don't always do it, but this time I felt inspired to. And I went out there, and it's called Biddleville Cemetery. And it used to be like I have over 140 people and headstones, and now it's down to like 16. And it's next to a public park, so a lot of the grass is cut, but there's a section of like a family plot that is completely overgrown in weeds. And there are headstones of people from World War One, World War Two, the Spanish-American War, in completely overgrown areas. And I looked at it and I was like, man, like this is an interesting spot, but like I have a lot going on. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I made a quick TikTok of just walking through it and bounced. But that weekend I was part of Con Carolinas, which is one of those like fan cons. It's local, it's small, but there's a paranormal track where you would talk about all different types of paranormal things. And one of the guest speakers, he was like the guest of honor. His name is Brian Denhausen. He's closer to your area than he is ours, but he's big in the paranormal game. His son is a professional wrestler, just a real cool guy in general. And his shtick is that he will do readings for people by painting pictures. Like he'll talk to you just a little bit and then paint a picture. So I just sent you the picture that he painted for me, and yep, that's it. And like, I've told you a few stories, but I don't know if you picked up, I'm not extremely sensitive. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm making these personal connections with spirits and entities. I very, very, very rarely see things or even experience things that I'm convinced is paranormal. I'm mainly talking about things that have happened hundreds of years ago to other people, you know? Mm-hmm. So he makes that painting where it, in essence, is supposed to be me in the middle in blue, with these two white, he called interdimensional beings speaking to me. And he said, like, they're speaking to you. You gotta start listening. Like, you have the ability, like, they're telling you, you gotta do this thing and to listen to them and to open yourself up. And he was like, what's going on with you that you're on the fence about if you should do anything or not? And I was like, I don't know. And I knew in the back of my head, I was like, Biddleville Cemetery, like, am I going to commit to doing something? And I asked a bunch of other people at the convention, like tarot card readers and people consider themselves mediums. And they were all saying variations of the same thing. And the last woman that I asked, who's a tarot reader that I trust, and she said, she mentioned the word community in it. She was like, you need to do it for this community. And I was like, fuck, that's it. That's the final straw. So I started organizing, and I got a big group together, and we weeded that family plot, and we made this path in the Biddleville that kind of opened it up. And by doing that, we attracted the attention of people in the neighborhood and like their neighborhood board, and they're working on getting their own thing going to clean up the plot.
That's awesome.
And one of the people that was there, her name is Tina McSwain. She's the director of the Charlotte Area Paranormal Society. And she was like, you know, I'm kind of getting a reading of an older gentleman, older black guy with a big bushy white beard saying like, thanks, you know, being very grateful. And I'm like, ah, man, I guess did something like, I was thinking something followed me home. It was asking for help. I'm not particularly in tune with that, so I couldn't hear it. And I had all these other people telling me that it was still sticking with me. So that was only like 2 weekends ago that it happened. I would love to talk to like a medium to see if this thing is still hanging on my shoulders, you know?
Or if you fulfilled the purpose that it needed. But either way, though, I mean, obviously it pushed you into what you needed to do, so.
Well, I'm hoping that's the thing, but but like,
it might be
like
the paranormal as a whole, like the whole city, you're just kind of speaking for them and like reliving their stories and retelling their stories. So it may not be one particular thing, but again, the community city as a whole.
Yeah. I would love to see those people that I met that day, like, you know, make their promise on it of they're the ones who actually live in that neighborhood. It was like 35 minutes away from me. But like, hopefully they commit to keeping it up for these guys who are buried there, like the families. And you're talking before about whose responsibility it is to maintain this stuff. And everyone can point fingers. And I'm doing it myself, saying it's their responsibility. But hopefully they do it.
You got to find one local guy that enjoys cutting the grass.
I love cutting the grass.
I'll just do it for fun, gladly. Somebody that lives like right next door, they can just bring their riding mower over there.
That's all I'm asking. But yeah, that is the most recent thing that has happened to me that involves what I believe is the supernatural.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in.
Before you had mentioned, you know, signing off with like a little bit of wisdom is, and my little bit of wisdom is like, be that person. Like, do, if you're passionate about something and you see that there's a lot of roadblocks, like whether or not it's legal, no, I take that back, but like you do it. Like, this whole thing started with me wanting some like people to talk spooky with, like talk about ghost stories and talk about the history of Charlotte and make Charlotte a more interesting place so that more people want to come here and talk about it. You just gotta do it yourself. And if you do it right and you're passionate about it and you stick with it, which is the hardest part, like people will follow and it'll catch on. So
it's that same concept that, you know, if you want to see change, be the change that you want to see. So it's exactly what it is, man. If you have the idea to do something, what not a better person to put that into act than you yourself?
Yeah, you got to do it. And if you have to like build up to do it, then it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Take it piece by piece instead of overwhelming yourself. Just say, this is the first step. This is the second step. And just kind of go from there if it's something you're passionate about.
Build yourself into the type of person that would take action on that type of thing. You know, it's a long game.
And then once you do it once, maybe it'll be easier to do the second time. And once you figure out how to, for example, save a location, then the second time you already know what means to do to save the location. So once you figure it out, be able to do it over and over again without nearly as much trouble as the first time.
That was my third historic or my fourth historic cemetery project I was part of. Like, and I never thought I'd be that type of guy. But here we are, you know, you just keep it doing it and sticking with it and you'll be surprised where it takes you. And hopefully it's a cool and spooky and interesting path. Cause that's like that's the cool stuff, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. That in history, trust me.
It's fine. And yeah, career is fine and funny. You know, yeah.
It's the passions at the end of the day that makes everything worth it.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
And before we wrap up completely, I know you kind of mentioned some of your links, but for anybody that may not have caught those, where can everybody come and find you on social media? Where can they find you on the internet? And even if there's somebody local that has some, you know, some of their own paranormal stories to tell, maybe something back in their family, where might people be able to contact you with that kind of stuff?
Yes. So for me, SpookyCLT on Instagram. If you're only on Facebook, then follow the just North Carolina Ghost Stories and History, because that's where I'm most active. For YouTube, look up Supernatural CLT. It's this really cool series that we did a few years back with like a local news station. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. Online, SpookyCLT.com. It has all of the links of all of the interviews I've done in the past and a lot of the lists that break down like places to visit and the local ghost stories. Our podcast was the Old North State Podcast, 77 episodes of historic stuff in North Carolina, a lot of which are for Charlotte because I couldn't help myself. And
you got to hit what you're familiar with, man.
Exactly. And then if you're coming to Charlotte and you're like, what is the one thing you have to do besides the stuff that I mentioned before is you have to go to Bart's Mart. It's in Eastway, which is a neighborhood, and it's a bottle shop and you can go there and you can sell your soul on a certificate and they'll give you one free PBR and it's worth it.
They're just collecting souls.
they put them on the ceiling tiles on the roof or on the ceiling and it's covered. So they have given out a lot of free PBR over there.
Well, man, I appreciate you making the time to come on today and sharing the history of your city, man. I always find this kind of stuff fascinating, and I love being able to chronicle the history of specific places, folklore, all that kind of stuff, because without that, it ends up getting lost in time. And, you know, you write about it, you talk about it on podcasts, you do videos about it, and it's bringing all this stuff back to the forefront for a new generation. We just got to keep modern resparking and keep turning it back around.
Yep. We're modern storytellers, you and I, and we gotta stick with it.
If anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, having me as a guest on your show, sponsoring the show, or getting a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com, through social media, Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is the one that I'm most active on, of course, but Facebook is definitely still a viable option. Or you guys can take advantage of the submission forms that are available on the link tree. And there is two of them over there. One is to contact me and the other one is to report an encounter. So make sure you guys use both of those. And if you guys have an encounter report, again, don't forget to report those to OMM encounter reports@outlook.com. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.